This podcast is brought to you by Money Control.
Hello and welcome to Money Control. This is Priyanka Sahai and you're tuned into Setting Sail, our weekly podcast where we get you the country's best known entrepreneurs to tell you their stories by themselves. Now, becoming an entrepreneur takes a lot of sweat and blood. But not every entrepreneur's startup goes on to become a unicorn. Nor every story makes it to the headlines all the time. But for sure, every story is worth telling. Keeping this in mind, let me tell you that our today's guest is rather a very special person who started up, stumbled, failed, and has risen yet again to achieve the next big thing possible. He's certainly one big example of how to sustain the tough times in the entrepreneurial ecosystem to stay relevant in the market. Without further ado, let me tell you that our today's guest is none other but Dharamveer Singh Chauhan, founder and chief executive of Zostel and also the former chief executive officer of Zorooms, an erstwhile competitor of SoftBank-backed Oyo, which was in talks to be acquired by Oyo a while ago. The two companies were learned to be in advanced conversation, however, the deal never happened. Thank you, Dharamveer, so much for taking time out for us. And, you know, as we talk about this whole issue, why don't I begin by asking you as to, it's been like what, 3 years now?
It's been like 11 years since I've been an entrepreneur.
Okay.
And I thank you for the humble introduction. So, but I'll tell you, you know, one thing about entrepreneurship is that, you know, that's the only thing, you know, there are some people that they can do it. It's rather not about success or failure. It's just about, as an entrepreneur, it's the disease that we guys have that, you know, we cannot really go and work someplace else or maybe, you know, contribute that much better unless we are doing it or building something of our own.
You always need to have a skin in the game.
Yeah.
To give your best shot.
Absolutely.
Right. Interesting. And that's what entrepreneurship is all about at the end of the day.
Right.
And having said that, let me ask you my first question here. The fact that Oyo and Zo deal, it was supposed to happen in the sense that so much so that at one point in time, SoftBank had gone ahead and even acknowledged Zo as a part of Oyo in one of its announcements. It said that Oyo has acquired Zo and the deal has happened. However, the deal eventually never took place. It collapsed. What went wrong at that point in time?
So, you know, Priyanka, I haven't really spoken, you know, about this topic anywhere. You know, whether in any sort of public, whether media or in any other form. And I think, you know, the simpler version of it is that it wasn't completed from the both parties in that sense. And, you know, and I like the fact that you still remember that, you know, it was because, you know, it's been a long story and it's in a matter of our legal justice system. And from our side, you know, it didn't, the larger part is that we haven't got our share. And And, you know, I'll probably, you know, just stick to that and, you know, believe in the justice system that, you know, probably that will happen. But as an entrepreneur, you know, you are much more focused on building things and obviously, you know, looking forward to, you know, where the business matures or decent exit. And I think, you know, today, you know, I remember this, that, you know, the larger part of whatever, you know, deal we were discussing with Oyo for that matter was that, you know, combined energies, you know, and a free market would lead to a creation of an entity on the scale of Uber at the time. And I think, you know, that's where the business is heading towards.
Okay. Currently, what I get to learn is that there's been an arbitration that you've filed against Oyo and the court, the matter is sub judice. So what is it that you're wanting the company to do? What is the legal status of the entire cases?
I think, you know, it'll be difficult to, you know, completely see what's going on. But I think, you know, we have been asking for the whatever was discussed to, you know, go forward and complete the transaction. And I think it's a long process. Justice takes its own time.
Okay, if I understand and if I remember it right, there was a conversation of offering 7% of equity to the founders. And that was for an all exit deal, which is supposed to happen if the deal would have happened. Is that what your demand is at this point in time, or have things changed over a period?
The things have never changed from our part. I won't comment on, you know, whether your numbers are precisely correct, but I think, you know, you have your own sources. But our claims have always been the same, that, you know, we have completed our part and we would like to get our due. It's now, as simple as
that's pretty much what the demand is.
Yeah,
fair enough. Tell me a little about what have been the learnings Because as an entrepreneur, when you start something, there's a lot of effort that goes behind building a company. There were 7 founders that Zoho had at that point in time. What have been the key learnings through this whole event that happened?
So, you know, it's very difficult to pinpoint on one learning. You know, I've learned so much along this journey from so many different individuals all along the way. Personally, as an entrepreneur, what I would have taken away is, before building Zorooms, we were always building Zostel anyways, right? And Zostel is what, today, even I've been continuing to build in terms of, taking it into different directions. So, probably, as an entrepreneur personally, one aspect has been, a real depthful understanding of, how big is a market, how fast you can scale in it. And along with it, having the right stakeholders with the right incentives is also a key part of, scaling your business towards. So if you're looking at a 5-year, 10-year journey, you need to have people who have a clear direction of what their roles are, what of their expectations are. And it can be difficult in a fast moving startup to always have that. But the more you have it, the more it's better.
And given the fact that if you were to get into another sort of a situation wherein, you are offered maybe an acquisition money or you're offered a good deal, what will be the key concerns? What will be the key issues that you will tick mark and you'll try to ensure that things are going in the right direction?
I think there's also another key component as to, why you are building a business, all right, because then comes the factor of why do you want to get acquired, right? And then comes the business, when and if it makes sense to get acquired, right? And, and I'll tell you how I think about, acquisitions. There are just 2 key components. There's nothing else. First is are you in a market that can grow larger than your acquirer market? Whoever is acquiring, let's say Facebook is being acquired by Yahoo, all right, and Yahoo is offering Facebook $1 billion, right? How do they reject it at that point of time? It's cash, but you reject it because there's a theory that, this social media thing can become larger than the traditional media, what Yahoo, at that point of time encapsulated. The second is, can you become the number one player in, can become the number one in social media? Yes, and so that's why, I would say that, I think that from that point of time, had the deal happened, every shareholder, I think from both sides would have been happier for that matter, in terms of, today, whatever is the claim, etc. So,
Tiger was also the cap table of the company. What has been the reaction of Tiger Global?
I think they had been patient for the deal to go through, and from that standpoint, it's difficult for a foreign investor to, be always hands-on in a litigation or legal system. So that's been their stand. And as an entrepreneur, we like to build. As an investor also, many times you don't like to go to the justice system. Many times you hope that you can amicably resolve things. So I think they have been busy in their own things. They have got a decent exit from Flipkart, etc. So I'm sure they have been doing very good for themselves.
Okay, but they don't have any current involvement in any of that litigation process or the business. Okay, fair enough. And tell me a little more about the existing business that you are involved in. It's called Zostel, and I've been given to understand that it's a hostel sort of a accommodation service that you provide, and you've expanded it to what all, or like about 38 odd properties, and there's another leg of the same extension, which is Zostel X, right, which is a relatively premium property that you offer. Tell us a bit about where you are positioned in terms of these two offerings currently.
Right, so Zostel, the way we see Zostel, it's actually the future of travel, Priyanka. The way the millennials are traveling right now, we all care about very local and authentic and social experiences, and that's what Zostel stands for. We started off and today continue to be the India's first and largest backpackers hostel chain. So we pioneered the industry in India. We shared with the industry partners how to open a hostel, how to run a hostel. We have done those contributions in the infrastructure that today India has sufficiently large inventory in terms of hostel beds all across the country. So it becomes much more affordable for the youth to travel and experience. So the lesser you are spending on accommodation, more you can spend on experiences, etc. around. So those things matter. And we already have, as you talked about rightly, 38 odd hostels that are running. We have 10 others in pipeline. We have these Zostel X that are Airbnbs that are run by homestays kind of people. And so we have also found a distinction in Zostel Now, there are niche communities, like some certain communities are much more passionate about adventure. So there's also adventure. There's some 10 communities who are much more focused on wellness. They just want to go from the tier one city and relax, right? So there's hostel wellness in that sense. So that's what the travel is evolving towards, you know, being a small community centric experiences, others, etc. So I see hostel is very well positioned, you know, in terms of when I see the next 10 years, I think hostel can become the synonymous mind space when it comes to the word travel. Because everybody tells me that, you know, hey, we don't travel like the people used to travel earlier. We travel solo, we travel authentic, we travel local, and that's what hostel is.
So the traveling pattern has changed, is what you're saying, and a lot of weekend getaways have started to happen, especially at least from the metro crowd.
Absolutely. So we have seen very large trend over here, you know, in terms of the tier one cities, people in Delhi, Bombay, Pune, Bangalore. You know, they all, you know, at the end of the day, understand that if they can get a $100, $120, $6,000, $7,000 weekend trip that is end to end taken care of, you know, they would love to, you know, go out and experience. It doesn't really matter. What is happening right now in India is that over 52% of people don't know where they want to go. They are looking to explore rather than search. That is fundamentally different, all right? What happens on Make My Trip is you go and search Manali. But if you go and search, let's say, Hostel X on Make My Trip, it will show you 38 kilometers from Shimla. All right, so you will think that it's away from the city center. But if you look at it from a Delhi tourist perspective, he doesn't want to go into the city. He's already living in the city.
Right.
They don't want a Netflix in their room, right? They don't want a TV in there. They want to feel the nature, etc. So it's better that it's outside the city. And as you start looking at the real estate outside the cities, mm-hmm. you can really, you know, think about and creating lots of new experiencing, lots of new resorts experiences, lots of new millennial luxury experiences. They are all very uniquely, you know, approachable, whole generational mindset. In terms of, you know, I'll just give you an example. So a lot of our recent festival is with a music festival. There's a trip that's happening,
okay.
But there's also a music festival at the end of the day. You know, and there we have also organized a FIFA tournament trip. So there are 12 people who are going, they'll play a FIFA tournament over the weekend in their league system, they'll chill and then they'll be back. You know, so
and what's the average cost of one such trip per person?
It's around 5,000.
5,000. 5,000, yes. I think that's for 3 days?
2 days, and it involves your travel. So,
okay.
you leave on Friday evening, you'll be back on Monday morning. So it's like,
okay. And on an average, how many orders or bookings do you get on a daily basis or on a monthly basis? Maybe that's a better figure to understand.
Right. So we over the, you know, we have around, right, say 1500 beds that are operating right now. So we do close to, you know, 30,000 to 40,000 room nights on a monthly basis right now, with around 20,000 unique customers. So we are approaching, this year we'll serve our 1 millionth customer as well.
Okay, and what sort of an expansion plan is lined up?
Yes, so, you know, we have actually systemized, so, you know, as I told you, hostel is actually managed marketplace. So we don't build any of our hostels ourselves. It's built by community members who want to unlock their community. You know, there's somebody who's in Srinagar and he really cares about that. You know, the rest of India really doesn't understand Kashmir. So he's opened a hostel over there. And he really cares about, you know, those 200 people who have gone there and experienced Kashmir and come back. So that's the largest spirit of hostel, and we have now, you know, really systemized it. So we are looking to expand, you know, we already have a pipeline of 20 hostels that are coming in the 6 months. But along with that, you know, we are building a pipeline of the next 400 hostels to come in the next 18 months post that. So all of these, because, you know, it's a real estate product that we have. So a lot of products take time to, you know, really come out in essence. So we are coming up with really cool assets in the southern part of India, in the western parts of India, very large assets that are a million square feet in terms of land. So it's going to be a totally different, unique experience that people wouldn't have expected from hostels. It's on a different scale altogether.
I hear you say 400 hostels, the expansion plan.
Right.
Approximately you have, say, like about 50 odd hostels, including these Hostel X as well as the regular hostels.
Right.
400 is like a huge expansion that you're looking at.
Right.
What sort of capital will be required for this, and are you already in talks with investors?
Yes, so we have been in talks with investors personally as well for the equity raise. But a lot of the investments required primarily for the expansion plans, the 400 hostels that we talk about, see, all of the hostels, as I said earlier, they are assets, they are smaller assets. Each hostel costs, let's say, you know, on a leased property, 20 lakh to 50 lakh to build. So these are all local entrepreneurs who are, you know, building these assets themselves. Today, you know, hostel, in terms of, you know, giving this sort of a franchisee or brand or an expertise, doesn't really charge much. You know, we just enable the person, we give him the feedback systems, we make him an entrepreneur himself. So this is an entrepreneurship development program that we run. We already have around 2,000 people who are willing and interested to open hostels with a corpus amount of 1,200 CR that, you know, in total these people already have that they want to deploy and build hostels for. So yeah, we just have to channelize it.
You know, as much as it sounds fancy and sounds as if no capital, not much capital is required and it's very easy to be done.
Sure.
My biggest concern would be about the end experience, about the consumer experience, because that is what a lot of aggregators have faced in the past. If you're saying that you're not hand-holding the property owners, if you're saying that you're not taking care of the customers once they're inside the property, how's that going to enhance your customer experience?
So I'm really sorry, you know, if I actually came out as that, you know, we're not hand-holding. Actually, we are the ones who actually hand-hold in the industry.
Okay.
I'll tell you, you know, as soon as we are not an aggregator, we are actually a managed marketplace in that sense.
Sure.
That we really build hostels. There is really no business competitor, you know, whether it be Trivo or OYO or for that any matter, who has really built the properties themselves, which is what we have done. So we really care about the complete user journey, as we also discussed before, that what happens inside the property. But that doesn't mean that I have to have my own employees there today, Priyanka. You know, with the right softwares, you know, Uber is at the end of the day giving you a service. I came with Uber right now, you know, whether whatever be the traffic, but the car was fine, the driver was really nice, and there's nobody from San Francisco who's at least from here, you know, there's a local team that manages. But you know, from that aspect, those scales are really managed by a customer relationship. So all of the customers who are staying in hostel, they give us the daily feedbacks. So first time in the hospitality industry, we measure each and every day what was our experience report. We don't even go on checkouts.
Okay.
Don't forget about checkouts. We care how was your day on 11th of September all across. So every day, today our rating was 4.72. You know, so I every day when I wake up, I see what my hostels yesterday rating was 4.72. Then we see that how was that 4.72. So, you know, there were some hostels which were 4.9 and some that were 4.2.
Mm-hmm.
So we call up them, then you know, why were you 4.2? We understand the user. So I think what the today's technology or enables you to do is that, you know, you have to run these properties in a sense yourselves through those people. And hostel gives them this platform.
So you don't rope in hotel owners, you rope in hotel entrepreneurs, so as to say.
Yes, you can say that. Absolutely.
Okay. Yeah. All right. And having said that, you know, I also heard you say that you're already in talks with investors to raise a round of funding. My question to you is, given the fact that one of your startups couldn't make it big, or for that matter, you know, it had to shut down on a very unfortunate note, I would say, to what extent the Indian entrepreneurship ecosystem or investors in the country celebrate failures in the country? Like we've seen in the Silicon Valley, there are actually conferences wherein, you know, failed entrepreneurs are invited to give speeches through which a lot of entrepreneurs learn as to how not to do a business. To what extent that culture exists in India or not?
So I think obviously there's a trickle down that happens from the valley and there's a delay and lag factor. All right. So I think it's fairly difficult for the Indian society to celebrate failure in that essence. All right. There are two things that I'll tell you. Obviously, everyone's interested in, you know, gossip. All right. Those aspects. Beyond that, I think, you know, everyone who's good in the industry, they understand there are people who are grinding it out. Right.
Okay.
And, you know, it's as simple as that. When you have a conversation with someone, they understand, you know, that this is a person who's a fighter, you know, he's been fighting it out. And the larger Indian philosophy has always been, yeah, karam karo, phal ki chinta mat karo, and the people respect that, you know, they all respect the fight that, you know, you have built, and I think you will always be respected for whether the failure or not, but obviously successes are better, you know, you can go out and then probably raise larger seed rounds directly, so that hasn't happened, but from that standpoint, I think we are fairly behind, but coming there, and there's a larger respect, I would say. It's not like you have been in any way looked down upon, for sure.
Okay, at least that much of sense prevails in the market.
Right, for sure.
And having said that, what's the initial reaction of investors when you're meeting them for Zostel? Because ever since Zoho got shut, Zostel, as I understand, has not raised any external round of funding. It's been bootstrapped all these years.
Right.
So when you're meeting the investors for the first time, what are their biggest concerns at this point?
I'll be surprised that, you know, you guys have been running the business for so long and profitably and without external capital. How is that happening? All right. So that is what excites the people, first of all, to, you know, really come and join the journey forward, be a participative of the growth journey. And largely, obviously, the concerns are around, you know, understanding what's the structure around, you know, what's happening on the other, as you mentioned, the legal front as well. How clean is the structure? Where can we go forward? And from then onwards, it comes to the business aspect, that, you know, what is the team that's building? How do we see the market size evolving? What is our insights? How the world is going to evolve? Why are you going to win? Similar things.
All right. So the same tricky questions all over again, and the investors are very interested and keen to know about the business. If at least wait and watch.
So I'll tell you, you know, if anybody is hearing this and thinking that, you know, you can be a serial entrepreneur and things will be easy, I'll tell you they will never be easy. You know, I think we should at least, you know, ingrain that as much as possible. The 0-1 grind is a 0-1 grind.
Okay.
And you have to do it regardless. If I think even if you have had unicorn exits, you know, they, if you want still the golden money, you know, if you don't want anyone's money, you'll still have to go out and prove that you can hire the team. You could still have to go and prove you understand the market and you understand what you are doing.
All right, then. So 0-1 grind has no age gap, and every entrepreneur, right, whether he's sold off his unicorn to somebody or whether his startup couldn't succeed, has to go through the same grind all over again when he's starting up next, is what you're trying to say.
Absolutely. You know, with the exit, you'll have money for sure. So I think it will be easier. But
all right, then. On that note, Dharam, I would really like to thank you for taking time out for us and sharing all of this.
Thanks, Priyanka. Thanks for the invite.
So that's all that we have for this episode of Setting Sail. Meanwhile, if you have any comments or queries, you can write down to us. Our email is mcpodcast@nw18.com. Till then, for more news, views and updates, stay logged on to moneycontrol.com.